I wanted my power back. I wanted my confidence back. I also wanted my energy back. When I recorded this episode, I was going through a time in my life where I didn't feel like I had a lot of clarity on the direction that I was supposed to take. I was feeling very confused because this was a challenging time in my life. I was reinventing myself. And typically in those moments in my life, my Duracell bunny kicks in, okay? I kick into a mode of like, okay, we don't really know where we're going. What do we need to do? I assess the situation, I come up with a game plan, and I'm off to the races. And this wasn't happening. I just felt like my life was stagnating, like I didn't have any energy, like my confidence was gone, I was confused, and I'm never confused. Like I always have so much clarity. And so I was just like, what is going on? And as the universe wants it, they brought a beautiful gift into my life. And I got introduced to Wendy. Wendy is a licensed therapist who just brought out a book on IFS. So it's basically a tool for therapists based on internal family systems rooted in Freudian theory. And that means nothing else than, hey, your ego consists of different parts within yourself. Some are fear-based parts, some are strength-based parts. And if you are not fully aware of your fear-based parts, then perhaps they are still controlling your subconscious mind and running the show for you. So if you want better decisions, if you want better behavior, if you are in the middle of trying to level up your life and nothing's happening, then that may be because your fear-based parts are still running the show. Our fear-based parts are rooted in our past. They're based in coping strategies that helped us overcome our childhood trauma. And in such, we keep repeating the past because we're still living from a place of fear and making decisions based on these coping strategies. So ultimately, they still dictate our life. And like, it's crazy because I knew this. All of this is not new information to me. But here's the thing, and here's the biggest value add of this episode for you guys, is that when you understand the process to how you shed light to uncover those hidden parts with yourself that are still operating and creating your reality, then that's when you can actually step into ownership and change your reality. This process is called self-healing. Now, I love everything that is related to healing. I love uncovering my trauma, even though it's terrifying. I feel like I do it on a regular basis. Like for me, for example, my triggers is like an opportunity to go into what's still needs to be addressed, what parts of myself still need to be loved. And so I feel like I've been doing a lot of that work. But with this tool that Wendy shares and the process, like she literally unpacks where the tool comes from, like the different parts. She walks us through how you can shed light on your parts and how you can work with your parts. And here's the thing. She helps us understand that these strength-based parts can actually help us develop new coping strategies to engage in a conversation with those fear-based parts so that they're not subconsciously running the show. And for me, the biggest revelation was, wow, in these moments of change, when I'm going through a lot of challenging moments in my life, when I'm reinventing myself and I feel lost, I actually have a part in myself that submits. I never identified with submission. I always felt like I was an independent, strong woman, was doing my thing, powerhousing through obstacles. And it turns out that that wasn't the case. And it took this process and this tool to go back in time and shed light on a childhood experience that I had completely forgotten about, that was showing me where I had lost a voice, my voice, in a very challenging circumstance. And so you'll see how Wendy breaks it down and repeats to me so that I'm learning how to get to know those parts and how to shed light on those hidden aspects within ourselves. And I think this tool is truly, truly beautiful and very, very useful, whether it's in business, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in being a mom, like in any kind of facet of our life, in any kind of role that we play in our life, whatever phase it is that we're in, I think this tool is truly, truly helpful because Wendy says self-healing doesn't necessarily have to happen with a therapist. A lot of the legwork we can do by ourselves if we're making it a daily practice. And so this tool is really useful because you can make it a daily practice. The way she breaks it down, it helps you make it a daily practice. So yeah, this is for those of you who want to create their own life and take control, for a lack of better way to say it. I don't like the word control because it's just like so overpowering, but it literally is like you getting into that driver's seat again and taking control of how you're showing up and ultimately how you're creating your reality and manifesting the life that you want. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you take something away from it. If you have other tools that help you self-heal your trauma and help you time travel into the past to shed light on your childhood experiences, let me know. I'm always super excited. I like to switch it up. Like doing the same tool every day after my meditation, I'm realizing is kind of like, okay, I'd love to have like a more fun way to experience this. So if you have any of those, let me know. And yeah, with that, thank you so much for tuning in, for watching this podcast, wherever you're tuning in from, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I'm so excited. And give me your feedback, reach out. And with that, thank you so much for supporting me. Thank you so much for showing up. Mwah. Love you so much. And until next time.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Where Boundaries to Selves podcast. I am your host, here to bring you with inspiring stories on leadership, purpose, and transformation. I believe that when we are in alignment with who we are and what makes us unique and our purpose is aligned with what we do, we can take our businesses and our roles in society to the next level. Today, I am joined by Wendy, a practicing therapist for over 30 years, consulting supervisor, and also recently published author. So welcome to the podcast, Wendy. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Some of the concepts that you cover in your book improve relationship, not only with ourselves, but also with others. The concept is really about how different parts within ourselves influence us and, depending on context, drive our behavior, which I think is super important because at the moment we are dealing with so much uncertainty within us that we didn't necessarily have to face in the past. A lot of people are being asked to step up their leadership game because we need people who are, you know, when they're making decisions, that they are in ownership of how are they making decisions? How are they showing up to make the best decisions? And, you know, how can we make a decision from a place of authenticity and living from a place of being the best version of who we are? That means being in tune with ourselves, with our intuition, but also being in tune with sensing the room and other people and what other people are experiencing because we're in this together. And so I'm very excited that we're shedding light on tools that actually help us create this awareness of what's actually driving us internally and influencing our behavior so that we can actively co-create the reality that we live in and change and improve our reality and also the outcomes that we're trying to achieve with others.
Wow. Very beautifully said. And of course, this doesn't just apply to leadership. It applies really for everybody.
When we met, I really loved that you said this, you know, our best decisions, regardless of where we are made when we listen to all parts of ourselves.
Yes. We have these
parts that are strength-based and fear-based. And so I would love for you to shed light on what the parts actually mean, where this theory comes from, and why it makes sense, and how we can actually listen to these parts.
Absolutely. I want to be clear that I did not make up this model. If we go back in time, we know that if you've studied Freud, or you just live in the world, you know about id, ego, and superego. Mm-hmm. That is our first theory that we have different parts to ourselves. But the theory that I'm going to be talking about today, or just the concept, comes from internal family system. It also comes from Janina Fisher's trauma-informed stabilization treatment model. How I'm going to explain it to you today is not using a whole lot of psychobabble, but just a really easy way of understanding that we are made up of a variety of different parts, some that are strength-based, others that are more fear-based, but also have strengths to them as well. This isn't about having dissociative identity disorder. This is a model that is non-disease oriented and just understands that there are several parts of us that are trying every single day to help us feel whole and loved and seen and valued. What I'd like for you to do, and also for your listeners to do, because they can follow along as well, is grab a piece of paper. And I'd like you to draw an oval in the middle of the paper. And then what I'd like you to do is draw little circles around the outside. So what we're doing is we're creating a conference table. And we're creating chairs around the conference table, but it doesn't have to be all beautiful or anything. I just want you to get the concept. In the center of our table, I would like you to put down an agenda. And the agenda is what I just talked about earlier, that every day when we wake up, we are trying to do the following things. We are trying to feel peaceful. We're trying to feel loved. We're trying to be seen, valued, heard, adored. We want to belong. We want to feel balanced. So all of that goes in the middle of your table. And somewhere at the top of the table, what I'd like you to do is write down the word wise mind, because we all have a wise mind. And this wise mind knows what direction we need to go in. It gives us good advice. It is divine wisdom that we have. And we would like for her or him or they to be facilitating the agenda for the day. Mm-hmm. And around the table, I would like you to start writing down some of your strength-based parts. Are you creative? Are you intelligent? Are you compassionate? Are you calming? Are you a great problem solver? Are you funny? What would be some of your strengths around your table, Helena?
I have curious, creative, just kind of took the ones you were saying because I identified.
Good.
Intelligent, compassionate, also wrote down connector. Also, I think I'm
beautiful,
social minded. So everything I do, yes, has to have like some kind of greater purpose to it.
Right. Great. There's another part of our table that is driven lots of times out of fear. These are our fear-based parts. And according to Janina Fisher, it's not just flight and fight and freeze, but we also have submit and attach, which I think is,
what does that mean?
Right on. So I can think of times where maybe in a fear-based place, I have just kind of submitted and decided that I'm just going to kind of lay down and I'm just going to take whatever is coming at me because I've been that fearful. We only need these fear-based parts really when we are in very specific danger. But many of us carry these parts with us every single day and we utilize them and they tend to like to speak up at the table. There might be a part of you that is a submitter or an attacher or somebody that is argumentative or defensive or numbs out or is a high reactor. I would like your listeners and you to also identify what are some of the ways in which you might show up, maybe acting out of a fear-based place. And let's remember that the fear parts of us are there for the same reasons. They want to keep us seen, whole, peaceful, loved, heard, cared for, balanced, connected, etc. So, for example, the person that wakes up and gets high, they're utilizing that part of them to feel safe and whole and peaceful, just as the person that gets up and goes for a run. All of our parts are working for us for that same agenda, but some of them may not be healthy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It's like when you get caught in these loops that it becomes really hard to understand which ones, because I feel like a lot of people actually think that these fear-based ones is what activates them.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think there's like almost a fear of also letting go of those and understanding how to break those patterns.
Yes.
It's like, well, for example, if I'm looking at my fear ones, my defensiveness, like I can be defensive. At the moment, I'm in this transition where I'm trying to let go of this old job situation and prepare myself and set like a new frame for myself to step into the future. But I still, like the thought of looking for a new job exhausts me. And so one may say, oh, you feel submitted in this situation. Like there's something
yes,
that's clearly like leeching on to that. Mm-hmm. And in the past, because I'm more curious, but also maybe a little hurried, which I also fear like I operate from when I'm in a place of fear. And that hurriedness, like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it because I'm in my entire life, I've had to play catch up. Mm-hmm. And this hurriedness actually got me to where I've needed to be. It's protected me. And mm-hmm. so if I let go of that, oh my God, am I going to be even more submitted? And am I going to be complacent? So I'm kind of like, I feel at the moment in this catch between both where these two fears are kind of like I'm not operating from the same place of fear this time that I've known how to coach myself through. Like I know how to deal with the hurried self.
Yes.
Like I'm like, oh, okay, I can breathe. I can meditate. I can
yes.
use that to fuel me, but ground myself at the same time and operate from a place of more centeredness. But now this new one, this submitted, I'm just like, oh, I do not know how to alchemize that. I'm a little at loss.
Right. So what we want to do is we want to get to know that part and we want to understand her.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to understand how old she is.
Mm.
When did she come on the scene? So how did we end up with all these parts anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Let me speak to that for just a moment and then we'll come back. As we're growing up, like who teaches us coping skills, right?
Our parents.
Our parents teach us our coping skills and maybe some other mentors in our life.
Yeah.
And it's usually by watching and learning. People don't typically sit down and say, this is how we should cope with this, ideally how to cope with this situation. And lots of times, you know, you might be out on the playground as a kid and you have to figure it out on your own. So we do our best job at the time to figure out how to cope with both the good things that happen in our lives and the difficult things that happen in our lives. But if something ends up working for us, our brains like to say, oh, that worked for us, so let's do it again when there's another situation that comes up that is very similar to this situation. So then we start developing a mode of reacting to the stimuli and the situations that we are confronted with in our lives. We want to understand that part. And that part may be a new part, and that part may go way far back. Your listeners are looking at their table. I would like for them to think about, when did their numbing part show up? When did the self-sabotager show up? When did the clinger show up, or the big meanie, or the, you know, the bully show up? When did the perfectionist show up? When did the judgy McJudgesters show up? And kind of think about what events might have been around the generation of those parts. When did this new part that you're identifying show up for you? When did Submit show up? How old is she?
That's such a good question. I don't really identify with someone who typically just submits. I've always felt like I've been able to take agency in some form. I mean, I guess when I was in France, you know, when we moved to France, that was just something that was imposed on me. And so I kind of just was like, okay, well, let me just go with it, because apparently I don't have any agency here. And
okay. Yeah. So what I just heard you say, though, is that there's a strength in that part. So Submit happened, but you went along with it, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of like going with the flow. You have to go with the flow. But there's also a part of that I hear that's kind of like, well, I don't have any agency over this, so I guess I'm just going to have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that was really hard because I didn't speak the language. And my parents threw me into summer camp, and I was just on the bus in the morning first thing, and then people were just talking to me. To a point where I even fainted at one point because I hadn't gotten enough water.
Wow. And so,
you know, it was just like, it just felt very like, I don't understand what they are telling me. I don't really understand how to interact. I can't even communicate my needs.
Wow.
And
so,
yeah. Yeah. So I think like I'm really afraid of these situations where I have to go with the flow. Like that's something that kind of terrifies me. It's easier for me to be like, okay, what can I do in this situation? And I'll just go for it. And I think that also kind of explains my sometimes hurried and scattered approach, because I immediately just kind of like will kick in and will do the most of what I can, kind of.
Okay. So can I tell you what I'm hearing a little bit?
Yeah.
So I just want to go back to, you said you fainted.
Yeah.
You were in a very difficult situation. You didn't have a voice, and something big happened to you. You fainted.
Yeah.
So how was, when you came to, I'm just curious to know how you felt.
When I came what?
You said you fainted?
Yeah.
So when you came to, when you woke up from fainting.
Oh, yeah.
Or came back, how did you feel? What was going on with you emotionally?
Well, I remember feeling, so I slid down a slide and I scratched myself. Mm-hmm. And that scratch hurt so bad that I fainted, and then they took me to the hospital. And so I woke up and I was just kind of like super disoriented. Next thing I know, my mom's here and she's American. So she's not really, I'm super young. We just moved to France. She's not speaking the language yet. So it's basically chaos. I can feel her stress. I'm in a place of like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. And then they're telling me that I was dehydrated. And so that's why I fainted. And now I still, to this day, whenever there's an injury, I respond very, I just viscerally to things. Like I just, it's a stress. And yeah, just very disoriented and kind of lost, I felt after that. Because I fainted and you're coming back, but you're also falling back out. And so you're kind of vulnerable. I don't know.
Right. So submit has all these attachments to it, doesn't it? Mm. Like disorientation, chaos, fear, no voice. And that's disequilibrium. Of course, submit might respond with another part of you that's like, let's dive in. Let's get this taken care of because this does not feel good. Right. Yeah. This feels terrible. And also our fears, you know, our anxiety responses are about two things. They're about death and loss of control. And what you went through was a loss of control. Everything was sort of out of your hands. And so you just kind of laid, what was there for you to do? You really did not have a voice. How we use this, because I'm sure the people listening are wondering, how do I work out of my strengths rather than working out of my fears? What we want to do is we want to use our strength-based parts along with Wise Mind to talk to submit. Mm-hmm. So if we were going to talk to submit, we want to talk to her very lovingly. She's been a useful part of your committee, and she was doing her best to help you get out of a really terrifying situation. She just kind of like shut up and had to lay herself down because she had no answers. We would like to talk with her in a loving way and let her know that when she is in a situation that is feeling uncomfortable and maybe doesn't feel completely in control, that she can relax, that her other parts are going to show up. Let's do this. Let's gain access. I would like for you to have a conversation, if you're willing to, and talk to that submit part. What would you like to say to that little girl?
That it was not her fault. Because I think there's a lot of like, come on, deal with this. And that sometimes these situations happen context related. So it's not her fault, and that they are going to happen again, probably. So this, I think there's like a fear of, oh, if I just get through this, it's going to be fine. I don't have to deal with this again. Cause I think I'm also, I struggle with change a lot and uncertainty because of that, that struggle to lose control.
Yes.
And so just appreciating the tools that I have gained over the years to navigate through change, and reassuring her that I have what it is that I need to deal with this.
Yeah.
And also maybe that I'm not alone, because I didn't die out there. Like someone actually took me to the hospital. Someone actually did notice, and my mom showed up, since I did actually have people who wanted to help me.
Okay. And what would she say? Would she, she's, so submit is, again, a fear-based part. If she was going to push back on you, what would she say?
She would say, well, in the moment, you literally had no water. So in the moment, there's literally no way, when this is completely out of control, that that risk of you being there again is never fully gone. Like yes, it's great that you have all the tools. Yes, it's great that you're never alone. But the reality is that this actually happened. And even though people afterwards took care of you, there's always going to be that risk that you're going to faint or not have a voice because you can't trust that the world is going to show up for you in the way that you need them to. And it's funny because I do find that constantly validating and searching for in relationships too, is like, oh, when is the moment where you are going to abandon me? Like, that's always like a thing in the back of my head. Like, yeah, just like this sense of at some point we're going to be alone again.
So I want you to then come back with your strength-based parts and calm her down again. What are some other things she needs to know?
That being alone is not bad. I think thing that I've learned is that being alone is that I can reach out to people too. That it's not necessarily just, oh, I'm abandoned, you leave, but I can also go to people and ask for help, which is something that is like hard for me to do. And so there is an opportunity, I guess, to look and find ways to like ask for it, I guess.
Yeah. So you have a voice and you can ask for help and you can reach out. You don't have to be alone. And when is submit likely to show up? What situations can you imagine her trying to speak up at your table? Is there anything currently going on? Or can you think of a workplace situation?
I mean, at the moment, for sure, I definitely feel like kind of surrendered almost to like, oh, I feel so disoriented. I don't know what the next step is in my life. Like, I literally have no clue what I even want. Like, this needing of what do I even need? What do I want? I don't know. Like, I can't formulate it. And instead of just being okay with sitting in that void a little bit and accepting this transition, it's, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's very hard to see that as a necessary step in dealing with change, is this void.
That's right. She's trying to distance you from this tough situation that you're in. She wants to resign. But you've got all these beautiful parts. I would like people to, upon waking, think about who is showing up to the table. And what are some of the conflicts that might arise in the day? Who are some of the voices that are going to try and be kind of loud and speak up at the table? And how would you like to handle those issues before they even arise, before your day even begins? When conflict does arise, what parts would you like to welcome in? How would you like to speak, behave through difficult situations? How do you want to feel? What are some ways that you'd rather not feel? What would you like to accomplish as you move through your day? So when you're at the end of the day, you can feel that you worked out of your strengths more than you worked out of your fears. Not everybody's going to be able to do this without use of a therapist, because there might be some things that show up that are important to work out in a therapy session. But this tool can be used in a non-therapeutic way. And I don't think that everybody, even though I'm a therapist, I don't think everybody needs to go to therapy, that people have so many wonderful strengths that they can work through things on their own.
Like for me, the submitted is something that would have never crossed my mind to put on paper had you not mentioned and actually explained it. It was so buried that the immediate fear-based responses come from, oh, I'm typically not very grounded. I'm just afraid. I get defensive. And so I think the part where you're like, okay, inviting us to get to know them and to kind of like dig deeper.
Yeah.
I feel like all of those other fears were kind of like a mountain on top of those singular events that can occur. Like I've had multiple situations in my life where my voice kind of was stifled because of moving around a bit, like even coming back to Switzerland where I'm originally from, there was stuff that happened. And so how would you recommend that we get in touch with these really underlying fear-driven aspects and parts of ourselves?
Bravely, boldly, with the help of a therapist. It depends on how much you want to work at it and also how much insight you have. But journaling is an excellent way of going inward and exploring, doing more reading, expressing yourself. I mean, it might be through poetry or music or dance. Mm-hmm. That you come to some new awarenesses. Mm-hmm. There's an old theory. It's called Johari's window. Have you ever heard of it? It sounds kind of exotic, but it was literally like a guy by the name of Joe and a guy by the name of Harry came up with this idea, and I just love it. Imagine a window with four panes. In one pane of the window, there are things that you know about yourself that other people know about you. Mm-hmm. In another pane of the window, there are things that you know about yourself that other people don't know about you. In the lower quadrant, there are things that other people know about you, but you don't know about yourself. And in the last quadrant, there's a big question mark. There's things that you don't know about yourself and others don't know about you. So we're always operating with a little bit of a blind spot, all of us. And those who are seeking to do it are trying to grow the areas where they know themselves a little bit better. Today, you didn't know about submit, and most likely your listeners don't know about submit and attach. You have to be willing to be brave enough to enter in to learning more about yourself and confronting some of the things that have happened to you in your past that might be what we call big T traumas or little T traumas. And something that you might not have, like you went to the playground when you were little and you were in France and you brought up, you didn't realize submit was maybe attached to that experience until we discussed it today. Mm-hmm. So some things we can come to on our own, and sometimes we need professionals, books, or podcasts to help us learn something new.
How does this work together? Because we read a lot about manifestation, like manifestation is when you are able to understand what it is that you need and understand what's getting in the way of you creating that reality, right? That's ultimately yes. what it is. And it's sometimes really hard to understand, okay, what are those limiting beliefs or what is actually getting in the way fundamentally of me living my best life?
That's right.
And how, what is like, is, I guess what I'm trying to understand is how do we close that gap between this model and shedding light on our limiting beliefs?
All right. Well, First of all, I think we need to be on a path. We have to recognize that there is a path and that there are going to be boulders on our path, sometimes rocks, sometimes pebbles. We're going to need to figure out how to navigate moving forward on our path. Sometimes we can do it alone, but more often we need to do it with the help and support of others. We also need to be open to feedback. Now, it's true that we can put 10 people in a room and people can have 10 different perceptions of a particular person that they're focused on. So we all have our own lens in which we view the world. But if we can gather enough information and enough maybe common information that's going to help us grow, then we can begin to develop more self-knowledge. How do we put this all together? I would like for people to be on a path, to know that there is a path, and to not be so afraid of the path, because there's tremendous amount of help and hope on that path.
How do they get in touch with these limiting beliefs, though? Like, is this something that comes up when they're doing this kind of work and they're shedding light onto these?
Yeah, they're going to need to be reflective. And a way to do that is in part to pay attention to get to know their parts. So they need to, the parts that are mean, the parts that are, you know, perfectionistic or impulsive or defensive, like they have to own those parts and also not feel ashamed that they have those parts, because we all have these parts. Mm-hmm. And these parts are here to help us, but they may no longer serve us. So we need to understand those parts and where they came from, how they developed, and utilize the strengths that we all have to let those parts know it's okay to relax. We can function in a different way. We can have a new way of thinking. We can change our operating system to something else and have it be successful. We have to be experimenters. We have to listen. We have to tune in. We have to be intentional. I think actually meditation is an incredible tool for catching self-limiting beliefs, because when you're meditating and your mind wanders, the moment that you catch that it's been gone and you bring it back to center, you're strengthening the ability to catch that voice, to be aware and do that meta thinking. To catch the self-limiting stuff, it requires you to be a meta thinker and to engage in wise mind, to tell a new story about who you are, because we often have a story about ourselves that is not true, or we have parts of our story that we think are true that are not true, and we need to challenge those. Did you ever read the book The Life of Pi? Mm-mm. Or watch that movie? Mm-mm. It's a philosophical book. At the end of the story, which is this fantastical story about somebody escaping and going on this terrifying adventure and making it to another land, the philosophical question is, what is the better story? What is the true story? And so, what is the true story about you, Helena, versus the story that's the fantastical story? And can we accept the true story? And why not have that be a good story? You're kind, you're loving, you're intelligent, you're empathic. I think many of us want to launch from fear because we've been taught in our society that fear is motivating. Mm. But really, if we motivate from strength, it's just way more enjoyable, way more enduring. And it's also the better story and true story about yourself.
I think it's because we're so wired to identify threat that these are just the more ingrained parts within yes. ourselves. Because there mm-hmm. is a lack of acknowledgement of when we have operated from a place of strength, like that is just not weighed as much mm-hmm. in our psyche, just yeah. because we're wired, right, to mm-hmm. recognize danger in the forest, you know, that saber-toothed tiger, as we all like to quote. And so it is a skill and a practice to shed light on how we're talking to ourselves and Absolutely. Recognize the patterns in the narratives that we have within ourselves. And the hard part for me is these narratives. I consider myself relatively open to mm-hmm. challenging these things, but at the same time, I'm so good at manipulating and self-sabotaging myself that it's like, okay, I wish I could be more in tune with what's going on. And I feel like in order to be more in tune, we almost have to kind of detach from it. And yes. It's almost like a process of, okay, so this is this. Can we now take an objective view on this and be really honest and kind of like feel like it's not all stakes, that's such high stakes? I don't know.
What's coming up for me is also something that you talked about as one of your strengths, which is being curious. Mm-hmm. So how can you be curious about the fact that you are thinking that without judging it? Oh, isn't it interesting that I've created this narrative? What's this about? That's going to help you dig deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, where did this come from? Let's not just judge this. Maybe it's coming from a part that says I need to be perfect. If I'm perfect,
That's
then people, I will be successful and people will notice me and people will love me and I'm not going to be abandoned. There may be so many different attachments, and sometimes we need others to help us figure out that that's what's going on there. Or maybe if we can get real curious about it and not judge it, we can say, here's this thing showing up again. I thought I had this resolved. Ha ha ha, not resolved. Here it is again. What's a better way of thinking about this? What do I need to work on? What do I need to let go of? Usually there's something that we're holding on to tightly to.
That resonates so much. What are we holding on so tightly to? I did some work on self-righteousness, like mm-hmm. detaching from the belief that we are right all the time and that we know everything.
Yeah,
also really helps, because then your framing as you even go into this is like, I don't know actually. And yeah. I'm just going to see what comes up, and it's not good
right.
or bad.
And usually there's some negative cognition that we're holding on to mm-hmm. or something that we believe about ourselves that we believe really must be true about us. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. People that have more mastery of calming themselves down and thinking things through and adopting healthy attitudes is going to do a little bit better than people who have not done that work. And it's easy to also blame others instead of doing our own internal work. One thing that has helped me is to view people through the lens of compassion and to understand that people are on a journey, and their journey is not my journey. They've got their own journey going on. And so they're suffering in some way. Mm-hmm. If you can, just working on your ability to view people through the lens of compassion, even if they're the ones you're feeling directly hurt by them, you don't need to take on that hurt when you understand that they're suffering and they're acting it out on you. I'm not saying stay in an abusive place, but it does help you to let go of your anger and to not personalize it so much.
I would agree. Is there anything else you feel like we should have touched upon that we didn't? Is there anything else that is still inside of you that you'd like to share with the audience or give?
I would like people to utilize this tool upon waking. I'd like them to ask themselves how they'd like to feel today and ask themselves that question throughout the day. So it's going to become easier to use this tool if you practice with it and ask yourself, how do I want to feel? What are some of the issues that I might be confronted with today? What are some of my challenges? When might my fears show up? And pre-think your day so you can actually act upon it when things do happen in your day. You've rehearsed it. The Portable Supervisor is the name of my book, and it really is for therapists, any mental health professionals, but there's a lot of tools in here just for the average person who wants to do some work on themselves. Could be found on Amazon for not a lot of money. And I want to thank you for inviting me on your program and all those people out there who are listening to us. Want to thank them too for sticking with this.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks everyone for tuning in. And until next time.